now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors fishing and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Hey, thank you, Mark Larson, and welcome everyone to another Sunday edition of Rod Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy, and it is a pleasure to welcome you to tonight's show. And I've got to tell you, you know, this is one of those shows that we kept on trying to put it together, and it fell apart, and put it together, it fell apart, and then this happened and that happened, but I think we have it all done thanks to the help of Ben here in San Diego and the producer, Otto, up in the AM 540 studios. We've got a whiz-bang show put together for you tonight. First out of the box, we're going to have Shane Warner, and Shane Warner is with the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation, and Shane's going to tell us all about what's happening up there in the Eastern Sierras, what the foundation is doing to help enhance the fishing up there. And then if we got some time, we're going to talk about Shane's part in firefighting here in the California area, especially up in Northern California. So that's Shane Warner first out of the box. And then coming on up later on, we're going to have Danny Wade with us. Danny Wade is from H&M Landing. Unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere, you have to realize that this past week has been some of the best offshore fishing we have seen all year. And Danny's going to come aboard, let us know what's happening and how we can take advantage of that fishing. And in the second half of the show, you know, we've been following Major League Fishing and the Bass Pro Tour. Well, their final event of the season is coming up. It's called the Red Crest Cup. And 30 of the anglers that have been fishing, Major League Fishing all year, are going to be fishing in this final event. It's their big event of the year. We're going to have one of the guys that I know we're all going to be rooting for. Mr. Aaron Martin's going to be with us to tell us how he made it to the cup, how he's preparing. And then, hey, if we get a chance to, Aaron's just off the ICAST show, which is our industry show. He might tell us about some of the new products he's been involved with over there. So it's going to be a great show. But before we get it all going, let me introduce to you my co-host for Ron Reel Radio tonight. He is a voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT and a pretty good freshwater and saltwater angler in his own right, Mr. Stan Vandenberg. Stan, I hope you're there.
Well, I am, but I'm a little weak. Otto's got to turn me up here a little bit. But all is well. You know, I've actually been, you know, finished my tournament season, what, last week or the week before. Now I'm getting ready for the saltwater. Got a 5.5 day coming up here, first part of September. And today I was out teaching a gentleman and his son how to be a bass fisherman. And that's going to be an ongoing thing for a while here. It's going to be a lot of fun. So all is well. Can't complain.
Well, that's just all you need, Stan. Another competitor out there against you, huh?
Well, I'm trying to get the young ones in there, you know, and teach them because we need a few more of those guys out there. So it's all good.
It's all good. It's the next generation. And just, you know, make sure that you realize that we have seen the enemy and he is us. So we're going to take it from there. Hey, let's get on with our first guest. He is with the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation. I've tried to get him on the show here for the past couple of weeks, and he goes, I'm fishing. So I'm going to presume that we got a hold of him finally, and he's not fishing, but he's going to have some good fishing stories to pass on to us. Let's talk to a good friend of Rod and Reel Radio, Mr. Shane Warner. Shane, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Man, we are doing really well, Shane, but from the reports that I've been getting from Bridgeport and monitoring what's happening with the foundation, people that think that, well, now that we're in summertime and the fishing is slowing down or maybe it's not even there, they are under a big misconception. What do you believe?
Yes, it's been kind of up and down as far as the fishing. I think a lot of it has to do with the weather. But we've been catching fish still. I stayed home this weekend from going to Bridgeport so I could talk on the radio. So I didn't get to go this weekend, but I've been up there pretty much the whole summer. And we've been doing pretty well. There's been a lot of tagged fish caught. There's been some, people out there fishing the Virginias, fishing Lower and Upper Twin, Robinson Creek, and the West Walker and East Walker River. And something that I've been noticing is that there's been a lot of some of the younger people getting out there and actually doing some more fly fishing on the East Walker, and that's been kind of fun to watch. I've been kind of cruising around and just witnessing people and kind of their daily activities of fishing, and it's been pretty fun.
Wow, that sounds really good. Sometimes I guess we're just skimming the surface when we see the reports from Ken's up there in Bridgeport with the people that have caught tagged fish. And I'm going to imagine that's great. But in general, what percentage of the fish that are caught up there do you believe are tagged fish, Sean?
It's probably in the 50 to 75 percentile. There's a lot of fish that they brought in this year, which was kind of encouraging. There was some younger anglers that were bringing fish in. There were some women that were actually catching some fish out of Upper and Lower Virginias that we planted last year. So there's just a lot of good things happening in Bridgeport right now. We have we've stocked over 850 fish this year, and it's just been fun to watch. I've been more involved this year than I had been in years past in the actual stocking program, along with my son, and he's really gotten kind of attached to the tag trophy trout that we've been planting as well. And he's actually taken up the fly fishing and has been out there with several of the younger generation that's out there. So it's been fun to watch all that.
Wow. And tell us, we've had you on several times, but tell us a little bit about the foundation, what their mission statement is, a little history and how it's going for them and, what sustains them.
Well, we're a 501c3, a volunteer organization, and we're committed to the fisheries there in Bridgeport as far as the stocking program. And we had a record year this year of over 210 people in our June trout tournament. We sold out. We're going to have to end up moving the dinner because we've outgrown the building, so we're looking for maybe going to the elementary school to hold this this dinner so that everybody that wants to be involved can be involved, because we actually had to turn some people away this year. So one of the other things that we've been doing along with that is that we've really teamed up with a lot of the local area, some of the foundations like the Fish and Mission Foundation. They're having a dinner coming up here Labor Day weekend, and they donate a lot of money towards our program as well. But also what we've been doing is we've actually had some real good supporting of the realrecovery.org, which is actually an organization that are men that are fighting cancer, and we take them out fishing. And so this is our third year being involved with them, and we really are looking forward to having them come up, I believe it's in October, and just basically just take them out and have a day on the water and kind of stress-free and just let them do their thing. So that's been fun to watch. We also had a local child that we actually sponsored for the 4-H program. The local area in Bridgeport started a new Mono County 4-H program right there, and they needed some help, so we actually donated some money to help them get that going for the youth there in town. So it's been a real fun summer over here. I pretty much live over here in the summertime, and one of the neat things that we've been trying to do is just get the word out there on what we're actually doing. There's signs. If you drive through Bridgeport right now, there's signs up saying that we support BFEF. And what that means is the Bridgeport Fish and Enhancement Foundation. And for those people that really don't know about us, if they go to Facebook and they just type in BFEF, or if they go to You know, bridgeportfish.com, that's another good one that they can access and find out what we're doing. We just stocked a whole bunch of fish last Tuesday, and we're hoping, we have 850 fish we've stocked so far for this year. We're hoping to at least get to 1,000 by the end of the fishing season. So that's all just donated money going right back into our local fisheries in the program.
Now, Shane, when you say, you know, you don't obviously produce these fish out of thin air. Who are you partnering with to get these fish, and how do you go about, you know, procuring them, finding out what fish you want, and then transporting them to wherever it is, you know, they want to be? Do you have to have permits from the fish and game? Do you have a lot of latitude on where you can stock fish? How does that program work, sir?
Yeah, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they watch us, you know, on a regular basis. We're actually partnering with Desert Springs Trout Farm up out of Oregon. And each truck that we have come down to this area is roughly about 400 pounds of fish. And, you know, a truckload usually costs around about $2,700 for those fish. And it's my understanding that this local fishery has been used so much by a lot of people in the area of California and Oregon that we may not be getting some of the bigger fish planted at the end of the season because they just don't have them. So we may be looking for other alternatives, but we'd love partnering with Desert Springs, and they've been a real good partner for us to link up with to actually plant these fish for us. And the local areas that we planted were both Twin Lakes and Bridgeport, Robinson Creek, Bridgeport Reservoir, both Big and Little Virginia Lakes, Virginia Creek, and actually Trumbull Lake as well as the Bridgeport Reservoir and some of the other local smaller streams like, you know, Robinson and that sort of thing.
So, Shane, when you get a load of fish that comes on down, do you direct the truck to go to this location first and maybe drop off 100 pounds and 100 pounds here and 50 pounds there, or how do you delegate what goes where?
Well, it's interesting you say that because the last stocking, which was last week, I did not participate in, but the one prior I did, and I actually went out there with them, and we stopped along Robinson Creek right on the Twin Lakes Road, just right at the bridge, and planted some fish. And then we went up to the campgrounds and planted some more fish. And then we dumped some in the Twins. And then we actually, from there, went to Bridgeport Reservoir, then the upper and lower Virginia Lakes, and planted fish up there. So Jimmy, which is usually our driver, is really familiar with the area. He's been taking some loads of fish down to the June Lake area as well. I think they're starting to get a tag trophy trout program going down there as well. So he knows the area, and so he kind of knows how long the fish have been in the tank, and he, you know, time is of the essence once he gets there. We need to get him in the water and get them acclimated to, you know, whatever waters we're putting them in.
Now, is the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation, or are they the only organization planting fish there? And the reason why I ask that question is because of the tag. What kind of a tag do these fish have? How do people recognize it? And if they catch a fish that has a tag on it, what's the procedure they should follow with regards to alerting somebody? And then is there a little something at the end of the rainbow if they do present this tag to the proper people that they have had a tagged fish?
Yes, so if they catch a tagged fish, they want to look basically on the top of the fish up by the, you know, the dorsal type fin up there is where they tag them. And it's a real simple process. They're tagged at the hatchery where we buy our fish from Desert Springs. And when they come down here, they're all tagged so that we know how many fish in the year is actually tagged on it. And so there's a number and then the year. And when these people actually catch these fish out of the local fisheries, they can go into Ken's Sporting Goods there in Bridgeport, and they can get a voucher for a free entry into our tournament, which is usually the weekend after Father's Day every year in June. So this year it was, I believe it was June 22nd is when we had our fundraiser. And so they just get to go in there and redeem that. They get their picture taken. Ken's Sporting Goods will give you a copy of your picture. They display that on their website. We display it on our website. And a lot of times it'll go to the Bridgeport Insider, which is another group there in Bridgeport that one of the members is always active in putting up fish on the Internet. So we've been seeing just tons of people coming up to the Bridgeport area, which is good for Bridgeport because I think that that area, you know, has been a destination point for a long time for people, but we need to keep these water stocks so that people keep coming and still have that great experience when they come up there.
Well, that is good. Now, is there something, physical characteristics about these fish that you're getting from Oregon that are different than, let's say, being stocked here by a California Department of Fish and Wildlife?
I want to say the coloring is just really pretty. You know, the ones that I've never caught a tagged fish, and I get joked with all the time about not ever catching a tagged fish, but my wife has, I have to tell you that, and she's caught several of them. But one of the interesting features on these fish is that they're just really fat. And I call them, they look like footballs when they're in the water. And they're just fun to catch. I've had just a great time being the captain on the boat is what that's how I get out of it, you know. I usually have to tell people I'm just the captain on the boat. I have other people fishing. But one day it's on my bucket list to catch one of those tag trophy trout. But the fish right now are just, they're really healthy. They're really, the water's a lot cooler this year. We have a lot more water in a lot of the lakes up there. So there's been a lot of food introduced to them. So there's they're just really growing really fast and really heavy right now. So when you do catch a tag trophy trout or even some of the, you know, the holdover trout that we've had, you know, from years past, they're just growing really well. We're seeing some good numbers coming out of there.
All right. Hey, Shane, we got to take a break right now. And, Stan, I know you got some questions, too. Can we get you to stay on for a little bit longer to tell us more about Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation?
Sure.
Yeah, Shane Warner's with us. We're talking about fish and trout up in the Bridgeport area. Stan Vandenberg's with me. Wendy Toshihar is going to join us in the next segment, so stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. Our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. See you there.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockleys Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockleys at your local fishing tackle dealer. Hey, Stan and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. And let me introduce to you now our other host here on Rod and Reel Radio. She is the National Sales Manager for Iserline, represents many other fine products in the fishing industry, and is indeed an expert fisherman and hunter, Miss Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, welcome, ma'am.
Ah, thank you. Sorry for being late, but a little Wi-Fi problems here in Modesto.
Well, that explains everything.
You mean being in Modesto isn't a problem by itself? Hey, we're getting back to our guest for the segment, Shane Warner. He's with the Bridgman Fish Enhancement Foundation. And Stan, did you have a question that you wanted to ask Shane?
Well, I was just, you know, he was talking about the size of the fish and how, you know, there's been so many different plants of different styles or different rainbows and browns over the years stocked through the Sierras, where you get Lahontan fish or you get fish from Hot Creek, and then you get one from Colville, and then you get the, you know, tailwalkers and all these different styles of fish that they have a different body, and they fight differently too. But this one you've got that's chunky, does it like to stay down or does it like to get airborne?
And that was a question for me, Stan.
Yep, that's a question for you.
Okay, so yeah, these fish are real active. I mean, when they hit, they're solid, and they run with it, and, you know, they get up and walk on the water a little bit. The fish coming out of Desert Springs, I mean, once they get acclimated, and they're good fighting fish, and, you know, what we've had fun with this summer as well, along with the rainbows, we've been seeing a lot of browns being caught in the Bridgeport Reservoir area. And also we've been seeing a lot of the Sacramento perch. I think our biggest perch out of the reservoir this year was about 2.5 pounds.
Woo, that's a big
those
one.
Are nice.
Yeah, so nice. It's a big Sacramento perch, and they grow and they hit really hard. And then they're not a real big fighting fish, but they hit the line really hard thinking you have about a 10-pound brown on there, and then they kind of let up. So. But they've done a really good job. I mean, it's been kind of a fun season. I'm sad to say that I've got to, you know, come back to reality because I have to go to work, you know, because I'm an instructor for Columbia College, and I start school here in another week, so we have to bring all of our stuff home. So,
well, I hope to get to that in just a little bit about what you do there, because we want to, you know, use that as a way to alert our listeners to the fire danger that is now, you know, very prevalent in Northern California. But going back to the fish, obviously these are tagged fish. You are able to keep track of them, or the Department of Fish and Wildlife keeps track of them.
Yes, every
and
load
you talked
that we
a little,
get, they're
you talked
they're
a
numbered.
Little bit about holdovers. What is the longest holdover fish that you have on record between the time, obviously, it was planted and the time it was caught that day you've gotten, Shane?
I want to say at least a couple years, because we've had tags showing up, you know, from the last season, prior season, so, and we still haven't had all those fish caught either. So, you know, there's still fish out there from even 3 and 4 years ago, from my knowledge, just on the system that we have, because every fish that comes from Desert Springs has a specific tag on it, and then they know what time of the year that they were planted, and of course, they're already date stamped on the tag itself.
What color are the tags again, Shane?
Right now, they're orange.
And the past years, they are?
They've been purple. They've been all different. We've been going through the different colors because people sometimes, if those fish are in a lot of algae and stuff, those tags seem to get covered up, and sometimes they can be missed. So the brighter colors we found to be a little bit more visible. And so as the fish is, you know, out there in the water, some of the other tags weren't as visible. So keeping with the brighter colors has been positive for us.
And all of the tackle shops around know that if you bring in a tag, or do you bring in the fish with the tag or just the tag?
Yes. Yeah, you have to bring in the fish. You have to get them, so they weigh it for you. Then they write it down in the book what the weight was. And we can kind of monitor how long the fish has been in there, how much weight that the fish has actually put on. So it's actually a really good program. It's been fun to watch because we've had some of the fish, you know, put on 1.5 to 2 pounds, you know, just in the time frame that they were, you know, put in the water. So,
well, that's good.
It is good. And I think, you know, somebody had asked me earlier on the show here, there was a question about, is there other people actually doing a tagged, you know, trophy trout program? And I know June Lake is trying to start something. They've talked to our organization. And Levining, they're at Beaver Sporting Goods. I know that they have been planting fish, but they are not tagging any of the fish, but they plant their local areas with fish that are donated monies from basically just the business people in the area.
Wow. Well, it's good to know that the communities are coming together. And obviously, it's for their own benefit because of the fact that, you know, when the word starts getting out that there are trophy fish that are still available, and here we are talking about mid-August and beyond, that's going to bring people on up there. And especially now where I can imagine, are the crowds that big? And what's going to happen after schools get back in? Well, do you really find a decrease in the number of people coming on up there? And how long will the rest of the season run?
I asked a business owner that the other day, and they see probably about after school starts, they see about a 30% decline on people visiting. But the last couple weekends we were over there, there's been a lot of people in town, a lot of people traveling through, a lot of people fishing, and I think they were trying to get in their last couple of weekends before school started. But we've been seeing, you know, I think there's quite a few people that have been throughout the whole summer visiting the area up there. And I think that, you know, for the business people in town, I think they're going to see probably a pretty good profitable year just with the amount of tourists that I've seen coming through.
Right.
Well, we've had a really good year because we've had water.
Yep.
The lakes are full. The campgrounds, because we've had lots of water, have been full, which is a good thing. You know, and traditionally, after the kids go back to school, there's an element of that all right, the campers, you know, that have children, they're not coming up anymore. But you get the serious fishermen because they all know from September till the end of the season is where the big fish are normally caught. And that's when fishing can be just off the charts good.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely it. And if you talk with people that are visiting, you know, I like to talk with people. So I've been actually just kind of finding out from various people just in Ken Sporting Goods or around town and just talking to them. And they've all had good you know, times fishing. They've had, you know, some good stringers that they brought in. And I just think that, you know, the whole experience of going over there and just being over there in that high, you know, desert area, and just the fishing is so incredible over there compared to a lot of other areas where we live, which is just on the other side of Yosemite and the Groveland, Sonora, you know, Oakdale-type areas. So, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, that's one of the reasons why we keep going. And I think if we keep contributing to a lot of these, you know, these volunteer organizations such as BFEF and Fish and Mission Foundation and all the stuff that they do over there, that's what's going to keep it going.
You know, for years, well, I've been involved, you know, with the group from Fatit there at Crowley, and we bought fish and stocked fish and helped lakes for several years now, many, many years. But that part, you know, we have seen that make a big difference, and I know a lot of other people have been involved with that, but I think now you really see with the water in the lakes and the high water has stayed there. This season has been really a bonus round because the fish have had a chance to, one, grow, and two, there were better numbers, and DFG stocked a lot, which that helped also over the period of time. But I think, you know, going through this season into next season, it really bodes well for ongoing trout fishing in the Sierras period.
Yes, and I think that, you know, if you talk to a lot of the local guides, we've been getting some guides from Crowley coming over to the Bridgeport area and fishing out of boats and fly fishing. And, you know, they just watching them from where we are at, you know, when we're out there, they're just having a ball out there. You know, these guys are taking people out for the first time to go fly fishing or bait fishing. And, you know, they're out there and they're all having fun. And I think that, you know, if we all keep participating in stuff like this and keep it going, that, you know, everybody's going to have a good time when they go over there. There's going to be a lot of fish to be, you know, caught. And just in general, I think it does help the Bridgeport area, Twin Lakes area, Levining, all of that through there, just by the amount of people that we're bringing up just to come up and go fishing.
Well, everybody I've talked to that's been up in the area up there, Bridgeport, from upper and lower Twin, down fishing, in the reservoir. I mean, all have been happy with, one, the quality of the fish they've caught, and the numbers seem to be a lot better this year, too, especially the guides that come up from Crowley. They're fishing the reservoir where you're not having to fish 20 foot deep with an indicator.
Yes.
That's a big plus.
And they love going up there in the weeds and letting their you know, they're guiding people that have never fished before, you know, in that style of fishing, such as fly fishing. So, I mean, just watching the people out there has been fun to watch. They all have a good time out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shane, when some people, especially myself, were, I'm not used to going up to the Sierras, I used to think at one time, well, you go up there and you fly fish, and I don't fly fish. So, but that's not necessarily the case. There is different gear, especially spinning gear, people can use. And for those people that are using spinning gear, what kind of gear do you recommend that they bring with regards to weights and line test and even lures?
Well, you know, some of the lures, I mean, I've watched people fishing in Robinson Creek there in Lower Twin, and, you know, just your simple, you know, rooster tails. I mean, just as simple enough as going back to bait fishing with the night crawler, you know, or salmon eggs or power bait. There's been a lot of success in just people doing that. And, you know, the tackle, I think, is just, you know, I haven't really gotten into fly fishing myself. I know my son has. But, you know, there's such a wide range of stuff. And I think if they just stick to, you know, a medium-sized rod that they can still get around in the brush with, and, you know, if they want to go fish one of the creeks or go up to Virginia Lake, they can still use a medium-sized rod for all that type of work. And, you know, I mean, what we're doing out there on the reservoir, and, you know, when we're fishing, bait fishing out there, you know, we're just trying to find where the fish are. So we have like a slide sinker and, you know, just basically like a Carolina keeper, and we're just basically, you know, trying to figure out where the fish are and what levels and depths that they are, and, you know, traveling through those little cool spots, and they're kind of held up there in a lot of those cool spots and you know, in and around those weeds where the fresh water's coming in. So it's a challenge. It's not easy. It's definitely, you got to work for it.
All, you know, right. So you're going to the Sierras. The secret color for the Sierras, if you're throwing a lure, is gold. Only because the chub minnows up there are gold and white. That's what the if you want to call it the forage. Is, and when they get into a spawning season, they have a little red stripe that goes down their side. So gold and orange or gold and red or gold and pink has always been a popular color up there, but gold has always been pretty much the key factor, whether you're throwing a Meps, a Panther Martin. I mean, you can throw all kinds of different colors on that rooster tail, but it seems like gold has been the basic pattern that the most of the fish will respond to. If you want that, the frog pattern with the green back and sometimes the red dots, that's always been good because trout eat trout, bigger trout eat little trout, and that kind of represents that also. You get the Thomas Point, that reddish gold color that's very, very popular. But you can stick with the standards on that. And like he was saying, an inflated night crawler and throw that out there or power bait with a little treble hook, Are those are the key factors to catching trout in the Sierras wherever you go.
Yes, and that's absolutely true. And it, you know, and I'm glad you spoke up and said the gold, because that is a very popular lure. Anything gold up there, it does well in all the waters up there.
You know, Shane, in just a few minutes that we have left here, one of the things you do, you mentioned the fact that you're an instructor, and briefly just tell us about what you do and the fire danger that we are experiencing right now in Northern California.
Well, what I do is I instruct two different academies every year. So we have a fall and a spring academy. And here for the past 2 years, we've had 40 participants every semester in our academies. And we're prepping them for getting jobs with the Forest Service, Cal Fire, Park Service, local entities here in the Sonora area, Tuolumne County and Calaveras counties. So we've been seeing a lot of young people actually turn into this as a career because it's something that is been brought to their attention because they're fire-wise now living up here in these foothill communities. So what we've done and we're trying to do is we We've gotten several grants to benefit this. We had a $500,000 pre-apprenticeship grant where we've taken high school-age students and we're teaching classes there to try and get them interested in coming out to the college and going through our program. So we've been really successful. We've been just blessed that we have the money that we can operate our program with, but then also the placement of these young people. We're getting them out there and getting them jobs, like I said, in various different communities, and they're happy. They're having fun, and they're excited about going out there and protecting these communities because we've seen such a catastrophic, you know, these wildfires that we've had the last couple of years. And this year, I think we're down, I'm just reading on the internet the other day, we're down about 90% on the fires here this year so far. And that's not to say that Southern California, I mean, that's still a threat to us later on in the season with the winds and everything. But here locally, we've been, you know, knock on wood, we've been doing pretty well as far as kind of holding our own up here. And just, I think with some of the cooler temperatures we've had the last couple of days has helped. And just the amount of rain that we had this winter, too.
All right. Well, Shane, it just seems like the fire season, instead of being like from May to September, it's now, it seems like it's a 365-day-a-year warning that you always have to try and prevent fires. And some people might say, well, gee, with all the fires that have been up there, what is there left to burn? But I can only imagine with all the water you've had this year, there is still plenty to burn and plenty of reason for people to be careful.
Yes, and that's very true. Everybody needs to be just a watchful eye, but more important, you know, a lot of people are suffering right now just because their insurance premiums have either been doubled or tripled just to be protected with fire insurance. So, you know, that's something that people, you know, need to be thinking about as they do their cleanup around their yards. Just being mindful that, you know, they need to be, you know, just basically fire safe when they start looking at cleaning up around their house beginning of the season. But, you know, we've been fortunate. I know mine got tripled, and it's just, I think the insurance commissioner at some point is going to have to probably step in and just say, okay, what's an affordable insurance? And they're going to have to make some accommodations because a lot of people just can't afford, you know, to have fire insurance anymore with their mortgage payments being so high. So, well, it's just going to be an interesting, you know, a time here. Hopefully somebody has an answer to it and we can get it worked out. But as far as the year so far, we've like I said, we've probably been down about 90% as far as the fires that we've seen in the past.
That's good news. Now, Shane, if people want to find out more about the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation, how they can contribute or stay in contact with you, how's the best way to do it?
So if they go onto the BFEF on Facebook, so it's the Bridgeport Fishing Enhancement Foundation, and just type that in on the search on Facebook, they'll pull that up. Or they can go to the bridgeportfish.com, and they can go and you know, get all the information there. And there is a place where they can actually donate money, and it doesn't have to be, you know, waiting until June for our tournament. You can donate, you know, year-round. We have a lot of local businesses that, you know, have donated money. They have signs up saying that they've supported us. So it's just a really good program, and I'd just like to say thanks to all the volunteers out there that have been putting this on, all the people that I work with on a daily basis. You know, when we try and stock fish and we're trying to raise money and think of ideas, it's just fun working with a good group that has the same vision. So I just want to say thanks to all my partners out there.
Well, Shane Warner, thank you very much for cluing us in on what's happening in Bridgeport and with the foundation. And please let us check in from time to time to get any updates on what's happening. We always appreciate having you on and hearing what's happening up there in Bridgeport in the Eastern Sierras. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate all you guys.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. Coming up next, Rick Marin from H&M Landing. He's going to give us an update on what's happening offshore. It's going to be the best report ever, I think, so stay tuned. There's a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
We want to tell our listeners a little about Bajo La Luna restaurant, located within a lush hidden garden in the heart of Cabo San Lucas. This family-run restaurant offers patrons a selection of unbelievable tapas, the most delicious Mexican entrees, an outstanding selection of wines and crafted cocktails, and the most amazing desserts, all served in an upscale, casual, outdoors atmosphere at prices you'll find very affordable. When you visit Bajo La Luna, mention Rod and Real Radio, and there might just be a complimentary beverage served with your dining experience. Bajo La Luna is located right across the street from Cabo Wabo and offers free or valet parking. Get all the information you'll need to visit Bajo La Luna Restaurant on Facebook. Just click their direct link icon found on rodandreelradio.com.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Ron Real Radio. You know, you heard that advertisement from Baja La Luna and La Golondrina. If you give them a call, say hello to Sissy Plemons for us and tell her that you're from Ron Real Radio or that you heard about her restaurant on Ron Real Radio when you're down in Cabo San Lucas. And there will not only be a complimentary beverage for you, but also 10% off on your entire ticket. And if you go down there and you eat like Stan and his gang does, man, that can be a really nice discount on the meal.
Well, the good part is you just mentioned I want the Rod and Reel Radio discount or the Rod and Reel Radio deal. You get 10% off your meal, and you get, you know, with your entree, you get a free glass of house wine or the cocktail of your choice. That's not a terrible deal. When you get down there, that adds up to a pretty penny.
Well, you know, there's not many deals to get, especially this time of the year, down there at Cabo San Lucas. But you know what? You visit Baja de Luna or La Golondrina, and we'll make it happen to you. Hey, talking about deals, let's get on with the real deal right now, and that's the bite of 2019. It seemed like just last week we were going, oh, you know, when is it going to happen? And then all of a sudden, it happened. And to give us an idea of exactly what's happening, where it's happening, what it's happening with, is the tackle manager from H&M Landing, Mr. Rick Marin. Rick, welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it really opened up in a hurry. Those yellowfin moved up, and there's bluefin underneath them. And it's just kind of been a remarkable 2 days. We've been waiting for this to happen. Everything's been slow. I can't really say it was a horrible year before this, but it was definitely a year for the big fish. Up until recently, you know, a week before these yellowfin moved up, we were catching boat will come back with 8 to 10 to 12 bluefin tuna, 200 to 300 pounds. So that's not really horrible fishing, but it's not something that everybody has an opportunity to take advantage of. Now these yellowfin are ranging anywhere from 16 to 25 pounds, and there's 40, 50-pound bluefin underneath them, and it's limit-style fishing. And although every boat's been doing great, really, even especially overnight boats. The Old Glory's been doing real well, but every boat has been doing real well.
It's just so, Rick, is this fish now, this yellowfin that's moved in, and it's anywhere from, I'm guessing, 12 to 30 pounds or something in that range?
Yeah, they're generally right around there.
And then are they eating the troll baits first, or are they just coming up and finding them on a meter?
Mostly meter fish, and sometimes they're, you get the schools of them boiling up on the surface. But mostly meter fish. They aren't eating the troll too much. Some of the stuff they are eating are like the Halco Max swimming slugs, like 130 and the new 110s, been working real well. And stick baits been working pretty well, both the Shimano stick baits and Nomad stick baits, the small 105 stick bait. It's about the same size as an anchovy, but it's real heavy enough to cast, and it works really well. SP minnows from Daiwa have been working well, as well as flatfalls. The other day, one of the boats came in and said, you just couldn't even sink a flatfall without getting a fish on it. They're just eating the paint off of it. The Ranger 85 was telling me that.
What size flatfalls are they talking about? That 250? Is it 400s? Is it the 500s?
No, it's mostly the smaller ones between 100, 130, that size. A little better size for those fish.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That the yellowfin are actually doing that, or the bluefin are climbing on them too?
Oh, the yellowfin were eating them.
Really? There you go.
The stick bait has been the most fun.
Yellowfin will eat anything.
They will.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was my skill. Come on, guys, give me a break.
You get the little swim bait and throw it out behind the boat, they'll eat that.
They're the perfect everyman fish. They really are.
Now, Rick, are they finding these fish on meters, or are they trolling them up with feathers? Are they trying to find a kelp patty? How are these fish being located?
I could just say yes to that, but
okay.
every which way you do it. Most of the guys are finding them with sonar. They've got these great sonars that find these things without as much work. But, there are some patty fish around. Some of those patties were really good to the point where some of the guys were marking them so they would be able to find them again the next day. But most of that fishing is all on the sonar.
All right. Well, now, if we're going to be going on an overnight boat or a day and a half or even longer range, how would you suggest a fisherman gear up for the conditions that they're seeing right now?
You know what? If I was going on a longer trip, I'd pretty much bring the house. I would have anything from 30-pound gear. As a matter of fact, the best thing the last few days has been 15 to 20-pound leader. Fishing for these yellowfin, it's been working better than anything else, just a little piece of fluorocarbon. But, you still have those 40-pound bluefin underneath those things, and a lot of these boats on the longer trips are heading up to fish those big fish again.
So, Rick, you're saying bring 30-pound with a little bit of fluorocarbon and some 30-pound fluorocarbon?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. And what else? 40, 50, 60, 80, and 100?
If I was going on a trip, I'd bring at least five rods. I'd bring a 20-pound, a 25-pound rod. I'd bring a 30-pound rod, a 40-pound rod, a 60-pound rod, and an 80-pound big rod, both for the kite and for the heavy flatfalls if we went up north.
I was talking to our friend Rob Tressler, and he got in that bite, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, and he was having a great time, and they were catching yellowfin, and they were catching some bluefin, and they were nice fish. They were in the 20, 30-pound range, and he goes, man, this is really easy. And then all of a sudden, he fly lines the bait, and the next thing he goes, zing, pow, bang, and he is spooled. So there's still, I guess, some big fish under those fish that are out there.
They really were. I was talking to Bobby Taft on the Top Gun 80, and they got back not from this trip, but the previous one, and they were at an 80 that they're fishing with as a kite rod. That's a big, big reel. And they're fishing that thing, and they had 200-pound on it. They got bit. They had 34 pounds of drag on this reel. Fish took 700 pounds of line and then broke off. 700 yards of line, I mean.
I've had two friends this last week fishing for that stuff. You know, I was watching where I've got the vessel program so you can see where the guys are fishing. But I got friends that have been out there on that big bluefin that's up on the island up north here, and they said they came across an area where that stuff was, its back was out of the water, and it's a mile long, and it was in like 50 feet of water. They hung one. They were on it for 5.5 hours, and they had the fish within a couple feet of the gap, and they said they've already got a couple fish over 350. They're just keeping it quiet, and they had this fish, he said, it dwarfed it. They were off the island a ways, but the fish took off and ran back into the kelp and broke them off, and they said they have no idea how big it was. So and there's nothing that you can do. When you get some of this fish that's out there waiting for us is really, really big this year.
Yeah, it's so big that we won't have tackle big enough if they keep growing year after year. People will be fishing 130s out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the East Coast where they're only swimming around. They're hooking them in 80 feet of water. Here they can swim down to the bottom of the ocean 4,000 feet away and just take it all.
That's right.
You know, Rick,
don't worry, Wendy, you'll be okay.
Wendy, it's not all of them. It's not all of them.
Rick, then this leads me to believe what we should be doing is checking with the landing and checking with the boats, because there could be some boats that are just going out and dedicating themselves to kite fishing, getting these big fish, while there are others, sports fishers, that are going out and say, come on, we're going to load up on these yellowfin and bluefin and hit some kelps, and we're going to have a good time. And we want to be out there in front because we know the Dorado are next coming on up. So it's best to check with the landing, find out what kind of trip you're going to be going on.
That's always good information. You want to get the most current information you can, especially as close as the fishing changes. You know, we're out there thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to happen now, it's going to happen now. Well, you know, we were all fishing that big fish. We were getting ready for that big fish, and these yellowfin showed up in such great numbers that everybody changes. Oh, you mean I can actually bring something home now instead of sore arms? And it's just been a godsend.
Well, not only that, you know, we have been telling people, please don't wait until the last minute to, you know, wait till you hear that the dock numbers are going on up and then to try to get on a boat, because a lot of people, I'm sure, that tried to do that this weekend were sorely disappointed. Would you say that's a fair estimation, Rick?
It's very fair. These boats were sold out very early. As a matter of fact, some of them are still sold out into next week. So if you've got to get on it as soon as you can. And don't worry about what they caught yesterday. You know, you see the counts go up and down a little bit here and there. One day to the other doesn't really mean anything with this type of fishing. You know, you just get out there, and you go catch them. And there you have your shots, you'll get them. It's just the way fishing is.
Rick,
but it's
just
been
give
pretty
me
darn good right now.
give me some clarity with regards to limits. If you get a bluefin and then you're also getting yellowfin, what's the mix that you can bring? I know you can only have two bluefin, but does that mean you can't catch any more tuna?
Five yellowfin.
Or what's happening there?
You can get five yellowfin, two bluefin. But if you get two Dorado and two bluefin, you're done.
Is that in Mexico or is that California?
That's in Mexico.
What about California?
Oh, man, now I have to be a different fishing game guy. I believe two bluefin, five yellowfin, and I don't think they even have a limit. I think it's five Dorado, too. I honestly don't swear what, but you can catch up to 15 fish in California waters, but only two bluefin.
All right. Hey, Rick, if we want to find out about availability at H&M Landing, or maybe see if there's any of the boats that are going on out to you know, fish those triple-digit bluefin, or if we just want to go up and load up the freezer, how's the best way to get a hold of you, sir?
Well, the two best ways is contact Landing or through our website at hmlanding.com. It has a full roster of trips, available trips on it. Or you can contact us at 619-222-1144. Talk to us in person. That's probably a little better way to find out what's the hot dope and what's the gear to use.
All right. Rick, thanks a lot for being with us. I look forward to seeing you during the weekend. Let's hope this bite keeps on going here for a little while. Right now, it has all indications that it might be here for, a few more weeks.
I'm pretty sure of that. It's going to be a good rest of the season, I'm sure. All right, thank you all very right. much for having me. Hope to talk to you guys soon.
All right.
See you, Rick.
Rick,
Stan,
yeah.
Wendy, we'll see you later. Have good luck on your girls' trip, Wendy.
Thank
no
you.
No kidding. All right, Rick, we'll talk to you a little later.
See you later, guys.
All right. Rick Marin, tackle manager of H&M Landing. And, man, now's the time to go on out there. The fishing is great. Hey, guys, on another note, we're going to take a break right now, but our next guest is scheduled to be Aaron Martins. And I got a text from Aaron. He goes, oh, I'm still out in the water, and it's sunset. So I don't know if we're going to be doing an interview or not. Well, we're going to find out here real soon. So stay tuned, because scheduled next is pro angler Aaron Martins. And hopefully we're going to get a chance to talk to him about the upcoming Red Crest series with Major League Fishing. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. Our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. See you there.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355. Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket and make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Well, if you listen to the show regularly, you know we've been following Major League Fishing, the Bass Pro Tour. We've been talking to a lot of the pros that have been fishing them, and now we've got the big... Oh, I think we can cut the music off now. Yeah, thank you. And now we're coming up to their major event for 2019, the Red Crest. only the top echelon of fishermen that have fished all year in Major League Fishing have made the Red Crest Series, and we've got one of them with us. And I want to introduce our listening audience, if you haven't heard him before, to Mr. Aaron Martins. Aaron, welcome to Ron Real Radio.
Glad to be here, John. How you doing? I'm actually still in the water, if you're wondering. If you hear my motor idling, I get that real quiet. So I can actually do a radio show and idle around crap.
You know,
I kind of left my hands free in the truck. So I usually have these little earbuds, which are really nice. You can still use both hands. But I left them. And
you know, it just doesn't surprise me at all that you're still underwater, Aaron. Just a stand.
We got till 8:33.
Yeah, there's still daylight.
Oh, yeah, I got till 8:33. Tomorrow we got to get up at 6, so.
Well, then you're in town, aren't you, Aaron?
I'm in La Crosse. I'm in pool 8 right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing a jacket. It's about 68 degrees out. It's crazy. It's been cool all day. My wife, I called her, and it's 100 degrees in Birmingham. I was wearing a jacket almost all day up here.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Mike Iaconelli about fishing the Mississippi River and said, you never know what level you're going to find the river at. Tell us, how are the water conditions there
now?
Very
low. It's the lowest I've ever seen it. You know, I mean, this place is already dangerous. So, there's like sandbars and wing dams and just everything. A lot of dock, I guess. Kind of a lot of dock damage. Like right now, I'm going around one. I watch out for poles. They're all bent over. That flood, they had all that rain this spring. I think the reason they're dropping it, usually when they do that, they're anticipating that they don't want that to happen again. So a lot of times they'll drop these like rivers like that to anticipate. But I mean, we haven't had any real giant rain since they've done that. So maybe in next month, who knows what they're kind of forecasting, but I'm pretty sure it's for flood control. It's like a couple feet below, 2 or 3 feet below normal. So it's very low.
Wow.
It's actually pretty clear. Water's pretty clear. We got a lot of boat traffic today, a lot of skiers and wakeboarders. So it got kind of dirty, but the water clarity is almost 2 feet, that's nice. It's about 75, 76 degrees, the whole river is.
So it's fishing pretty good, Aaron?
Yeah, it's usually like 80, if I remember right, it's usually like 84, 85, right? It's about 10 degrees cooler than normal, so it's probably why it's a little funny right now.
So it's fishing pretty good,
is
Aaron?
Is this water you're familiar with, fishing
out
of lacrosse like this?
I don't know. This place
That's
has
good.
Always done me well, except for the last day. No, it's okay. It's not... It's probably not as easy as some guys. I've been up here a while. I had a writer's conference on pool five. Pool five was two pools up from here and three. We're on eight, so three pools up. And I fished there for the writer's conference for like 3 days. And then I went down to pool nine and fished 5 days straight on pool nine, which is a big pool. It's a real nice pool. And I didn't want to drive home 17 hours. I didn't want to, it's just tough. I wanted to see a family, but it's $300,000 on the table, and I thought maybe if I get up here and really get dialed in and fish a lot, the more I fish, the better I do. And when I have done bad in the past, it's because I just hadn't fished enough. So I've been fishing a lot. No excuses if I don't do good here, but it's going to be a challenging event for sure.
Well, you know, winning is tough, Aaron. I mean, you look at the number of tournaments you fish in, and again, I don't want to go back to Mike Iaconelli, but, you know, you're saying, hey, you know, I've fished thousands of tournaments. I've only won 12 tournaments, and you have fished, you know, hundreds and hundreds of tournaments, and I know you've been in the top 10 many times, but when it comes to winning, you're fishing against some great guys, and winning is tough.
It is tough. I've got a lot of seconds, and they kind of stink. But yeah, it's very hard to win. Very hard to. I mean, I've done really well in the cup events, and I've made a lot of final rounds. I don't know if I've made the most, but I know I'm up there with the top two or three guys for making the final round. I haven't won one yet, so it's very difficult to win. They zero your weight every day. You go to places and you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're at. It's almost like there's a little bit of luck involved, kind of. I'm not a real lucky guy, I don't think. I'm fortunate, but maybe it's because I because I carry the bananas in the boat. I don't know, but it's very, very hard to land. I was kind of surprised when I did win that one this year at Table Rock. That was kind of unexpected, but not really, though, as I was catching, but it's just, I've been so close so many times. It's kind of nice when it actually finally happened, but I still have not won a cup event, which is, we're still having a cup event now, and that's why I've been fishing for almost 8 years with MLF. I've had some seconds and some thirds, but I don't know. This one would be better than all of them, I think, because it's the first, you know, the first championship and of this circuit. I think it'd be, and I never did win a classic. I got 4 second places, so maybe I can come win this first one. Maybe I'll have a little fortune or luck there coming into Red Crest.
Are you still liking the format? Because, you know, where they had the format that as you get to each different stage, it's like you almost start all over again, and they have a similar format, except now you got the top 30 guys, and they'll all start and fish for 2 days, and then they'll whittle it down to the top 20, and they'll have two different brackets.
Top
where,
10, yep.
Yeah.
Zero.
How do you like
day,
that? So do you like starting from scratch when you get to each bracket?
Yeah, so it's almost like you need to get a little bit lucky sometimes, just a little bit. I don't like relying on luck, but it seems like maybe. I mean, the anglers are kind of deciding all the rules right now, so we might change that. We're having meetings right now about that, but we want to keep it entertaining. We like though the every fish counts. It actually adds a lot to it. Adds a lot to the game than just catching like 5 large fish. We catch large fish too, though. It's kind of, I kind of like it the way it is. It takes some getting used to. I know some of these new guys are fishing it. It's definitely a learning curve.
But yeah, without a doubt. When they put you on a lake, then there's an element of luck where you have to drive around the lake for a few minutes, pick a spot, and hope that the fish are there without pre-fishing. That luck comes into play on, you know, maybe they're going to be here, maybe they won't. Even with your best knowledge of what the fish should be doing, that's where the luck element really shines.
Yeah, and a lot of times also you fish the same fisheries on different days. So I know I fished against some hammers on the same spots, and it can be that can really hurt you because, you know, some guy caught 50 pounds in an area the day before, and you're getting bit, but you can't hook him, and you know there's a lot of fish there, and that kind of happens to all. It's kind of equal for everybody, but that happens a lot. Oh, that second, like the first day, guys kind of smashing. You know, almost have to look for banks that don't look good, or maybe guys pass up because the good-looking stuff gets hammered. So you have to think a little different. It's very tough.
Aaron, in fishing the Mississippi River like this, have you found the fish are bunched up, or do you think that this is going to be more like junk fishing and you're going to have to move from place to place to place in order to get the number of fish to keep in contention?
I might have to pull a drop shot out. The water, it's weird. The bait's shallow, and the fish are definitely not schooled, which is fine with me. I mean, I don't really, I've caught them here in the past on schools, but it's going to be more, there's going to be some smaller schools, but not the schools like I've been on before, right?
Radiación 540 AM, la portadora de buena.
What's that?
Good question. that was a mistake.
That was
awesome.
That was the voice of the great unknown. What can I tell you? Yeah, you know, Aaron, with the water low, does that mean there's a lot less structure in the water? Are you fishing flats, or are you really trying to find areas where there is some type of structure because the fish are there?
Yeah, there's some of the spots are usually too deep or actually a good depth. I mean, it's like 7 feet down. It's crazy. So, yeah, a lot of the wood and stuff is out of the water. There's a – I don't want to say too much, but, yeah, it's a – it's going to make it – these guys are going to catch them. I mean, it's actually pretty good. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of fish caught. And the water being down is not going to affect the weights that much. We're still going to see a lot of fish caught. Scary, isn't it?
Well, with the water going down like that, you are the king of finesse fishing. Do you think that gives you an extra advantage over some of these guys that are more power fishermen?
They finesse fish now. I mean, look at Prosnick. He's been very good this year. He drop shots as much as I do. I haven't pulled anything finesse out yet, but it's been kind of search mode. I haven't really. I know I can catch them all. Positive, I can do some damage on a little drop shot or shaking it or something. But I'm not, right now, I'm just kind of been looking for a kind of heavy bait, looking for a bite here and there to find the areas that have fish. It's I don't know. I mean, it's depends what the weather does too. Now today we had the first wind in a week and a half. It's been pretty flat up here. No wind. It's been kind of not hot, but 80, 85. Today was real cool, and it blew about 20 mile an hour most of the day. So today was definitely different. Now, you get a real flat day out here and sunny, yeah, you're going to have to pull a finesse rig out for sure. And there's a little bit of grass to punch, too. The grass is matted up. A lot of eelgrass, a lot more eelgrass than I've ever seen before. So that's fun to flip. But there is the grass is probably, most grass I've seen is 2 feet. 2 feet deep, but usually it's 4 feet. So it's definitely lower than normal. But there's fish in that too. It's just tricky to flip. So, I mean, these guys will catch them. There's so many different ways to catch them right now up here. It's almost I wouldn't say it's fish or strength because these guys, like I told you a minute ago, these guys all finesse fish now. I don't think anybody does it. So they've learned how to drop shot. They're all good at shaky head and they're weightless worms, black run, I do everything. At this level, I don't think you have a strength. I've been asked that a bunch, but I never wanted to have a strength, really.
If I did
compared to these guys, it'd probably be deep fishing, 60 to 100 feet. That'd be the only strength I have advantage on, but these guys would learn that quick, too.
Well, Aaron, I think you came in with a better knowledge of a lot of different things coming from the West Coast than the guys from the East Coast do. And if you watch Major League Fishing, the shallow water impoundments are really where a lot of that's taking place. And a lot of that is fishing in 10 feet or 12 feet or less water. Sometimes it's as much as 1 or 2 or 3 feet of water.
Yeah.
The guys are used to fishing in. And they all use the same style going through that shallow water reservoir. When you get into deep water or moving water, it changes a little bit, doesn't it?
You have to use your graphs a lot more. Yeah, we fished almost this whole season was shallow. It's all you can't use your graphs. I mean, I have my awesome solid hummingbirds. I honestly couldn't use them. I never cranked hardly at all this year. It's just my cranking's my favorite way to fish, and I didn't even really crank this year. It's kind of weird. I mean, it was we followed the spawn around, so we kind of fished everything was shallow. Everything was bank related. A visual objects. I mean, it was weird. This is we're finally getting into Table Rock is getting in. There was actually still fish spawning there, but they were by far majority done. And this place, I wouldn't be surprised if I have actually in the last week or so actually caught some fish that were spawning. It's kind of weird at August, but I'm pretty sure I've actually caught a few. They're peeing. They're kind of the way they bit and the way they're sitting. They're actually. Still think there's fish on beds, but probably 97% of them are definitely done and done for the year. And they're in that kind of a fall, early fall, late summer here, kind of what it's fishing like. Bait's kind of pulling up everywhere, balls of bait, and the fish are kind of busting on bait over deep water, and a lot of suspended fish. This is scattered. It's a little scattered right now.
What's deep water right now? What are you talking about, deep water?
I'm not telling you that.
No, okay. Well, never mind.
It's a lot. I'm assuming you might be listening. It's a lot deeper than people think. I kind of made that clear on this place that you don't have to catch a shallow.
All right. Hey, Aaron, we got to take a break. Can we ask you to stay for a little longer?
I hear you.
I know you got a lot of stuff to do. If you got to get going, let us know. But there's still a few questions we need to ask you. Can you stay for a little bit longer?
Yeah, I can stick around. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're speaking with Aaron Martins. He is pre-fishing for Major League Fishing. Red Crest, man, this is a top series of the year. And as I understand, he kind of let the cat out of the bag. $300,000 might be up for first place. So it's going to be a real skin to get. So we're going to find out more about how Aaron intends to win this tournament, but we're going to take a break right now. We'll be back after these messages.
I got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey, we want to tell you a little bit about the Catch Fishing Hook, Line, and Lure system, and we have Kavika with us from Catch. Kavika, tell us about the Catch system.
Hey, guys. So Catch Fishing Products, Catch Lure, Hook, and Line Holder. Straps on to your rods, whether it's freshwater, saltwater. It's adjustable, UV saltwater resistant, products made in the USA. Holds on to your lures, holds on to your hooks, and a great feature about it is it also holds on to fishing line, and it's great used as a finger trigger as well. Save your investment in your rods and reels.
And we want to remind everyone that the Catch system is going to be available at a dealer near you.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. The San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419. Or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. We're speaking with Aaron Martins. Aaron is pre-fishing for the Major League Fishing Red Crest. It is coming on up this week. Big, big event. And it's a major that I think Aaron would like to take the scalp on. Aaron, I think that's why you're there, isn't it?
That's why I stayed up here, yeah. That's why I've been, I told the boys last night in the meeting, like a bunch of them. I was sitting next to Ike Nelly. I told them I've been up here for like 9 days, and they were very unhappy they heard that.
Aaron, with the low water level that you're talking about, is there current and with opening and closings of locks, does that create current? Is it like tidal water, especially if you're down from one of these locks, when it lets out all that water, does the water level go up maybe for 10, 15 minutes, the bite goes on, then it goes down? Tell us about fishing water like that where locks are involved.
Well, I mean, it's got a steady flow. It's Mississippi, so a lot of water comes through. It doesn't really have not a lot of barge traffic right now. So maybe today, I mean, where I'm at, there's not a lot of, I guess, I'm in a different area, it affects it a little bit. It's just hard to keep up on all that stuff, like the lot schedules. It's so random. Like I said, I haven't seen hardly any barges while I've been up here. So real light traffic, and but it does have a steady flow. Wow, it's really low. I can't believe how low the water is. It has like a maybe a half mile an hour current at the most. But this is like the least current I've ever seen. When I was doing good last year in the elite tournament, I was leading it the third day. It was the current was like a mile and a half an hour. And it was flooding. It was coming up. It was 8 feet higher than it is now. So right now there's almost no current. It's really unusual like that. Usually it flows more than it does. And it's like right now I'm going by a bridge by the launch ramp, and there's like no current. It's very strange. Obviously have really good shad spawn. They have they're not Tritons. I'm pretty sure they're all gizzard shad. They're everywhere. Big schools of gizzard shad, but they're like an inch and a half, 2 inch long. They're little guys. So that's what the fish are kind of keen in on right now, is, you know, shad mostly. And this water has come down in the last like 3-4 weeks. It's come down like 4 or 5 feet just in the last than a month. So that's a lot of water. That's gonna, you know, make things interesting. You know, a lot of stuff that was on the above where the water line is now, that attracts fish too. You know, it attracts predator fish. That fish that get displaced, get their homes, get kicked out of their homes, and then the bass kind of, a lot of times the shallow bite can get really good, which I think it is right now too. So it can be tricky. Right now I'm not sure if I'm going to go shallow or deep. I think I might do both, obviously, but. Like, what do I do? I'm not sure.
You know, I would imagine, Aaron, you're going to have to be shallow or deep depending on the location of the area that you're in, and just be versatile like you are anyhow, because you know how to do both and be effective at both.
Yeah, you're going to want to do both here. Whoever wins this tournament, unless they really figure something out. Oh, it's going to be different. We had the first 2 days on this pool eight, and then 10 guys get eliminated, and then we go down the top 20, go to the pool 7, which is above here, which is like on Alaska. You probably see on the map. Some people have probably seen it before. It's a big, kind of big open body of water at the lower end, and that's where we're having the final. Which I don't think that pool is as good. I think this is the best pool, pool 8. I think this pool has the best quality and the most fish in it for sure. But pool 7 is actually a really good pool, though. It's got quite a few fish on it.
You're going to be able to fish?
Yeah, right now we can't pre-fish pool 7. We actually changed it last night, had a meeting, so we can't practice pool 7. It's just a 4-hour. We're going to have an off day on our knockout round. Like each group of anglers will have an off day, and during their off day, you can go from like 6:30 to 10:30 or something in the morning, and then you can't pull. This is kind of normal for a lot of the cup events. You can't use fish. You can just use your electronics, and you can get on the trolling motor, but you can't have any rods on the deck. I tried to get them to do both. I tried to get them to do the whole tournament like that, but they wouldn't do it. I mean, I'd like to have that.
Yeah, no rods tournament. That would be good.
Well, Aaron, you're fishing up in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's known as the land of 10,000 lakes. It's known as the cheese steak. I think the mosquito is the official bird over there. Ugh. It's known for a lot of things, but you have found also that there's another side to the wildlife over there that is kind of unpleasant, and you've been having to dodge that. You want to tell us a little bit about what it is that you're having to dodge there?
The only thing I dodge all day is the bull gnats. We eat buffalo gnats, what they call them, those little gnats. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the snakes.
I like snakes. I don't dodge them. I actually go after them. It's the little buffalo gnats. They're about one-tenth the size of a house fly. That drive you crazy. I don't know if you guys in California, you had to know CM. The no-see-ums up in the, like I know in Lake Pyramid and Cascade, in the summertime you have no-see-ums, little black flies, and they bite too. These are about twice the size or three times the size, and they're way more annoying. And you got know, anywhere from 4 to 20, 30 of them on at a time, and they're like, oh, see, they're like little mini yellow jackets with the athlete. They swarm you. That's the only thing I kind of dodge all day is the net. Everything else is, like right now is mosquito time here. I'm heading to the dock right now. Right now it's bad. when I get to the dock and dock my boat on my poles now, it's gonna be instant mosquitoes. They're not bad in the water, but like I said, all day they're like any time of day you go like next to the woods or even in the sun they come out to you. There's lots of mosquitoes.
Well, they're used to being in the brush line right next to the bank, or once you get on the shore, they're all over the place. They come out of the brush and out of the bushes, and then you're just a target.
Oh, all day long. Fishing are sweet like me. They love me.
Aaron, tell us about your protective clothing. What do you do to protect yourself from the sun? And then also, when it comes to insects and bugs like that, are you wearing clothing that you may not necessarily wear, like if you're fishing Lake Castaic or something?
Yeah, I wear my same stuff. I wear the gaiters. I've worn gloves and wearing a boonie hat my whole life, but now I got these gaiters, which are real nice. That's what helps the bugs. You put them over your nose and put your glasses on, kind of seal everything off, and it bounces off your glasses all day. Occasionally,
Aaron, get a hold of Sims and get their
coverage.
Get a hold of Sims and get their bug off shirts, man. That stuff works great, even in Alaska for it.
These little gnats can't bite through a sun shirt, though. They're too small. But the mosquitoes can. Oh my gosh, they're hovering around me right now. Like I said, as soon as I get to the dock, they'll start buzzing me every day.
But, like I said, get a hold of Sims and get their bug off shirts, man. They're great and they work.
Insect shield? I got lots of. I got insect shield gloves and gaiters. I got them in the boat right now.
All
right. You guys haven't heard.
Aaron, did you say Carol is with you too, helping out?
What's that?
Did you say that your mom Carol is with you helping out?
No, I'm solo.
Okay.
Solo.
So, all right. I thought maybe someone was holding the phone for you while you were talking with us. Just you know. I can't tell you how much all of us here in Southern California are rooting for you. And I don't know if you can feel it or not, but, you know, there's a lot of talk here in the tackle shop about the upcoming event. And guys are supporting you. And we just all send you the best and just hope that you have absolutely the most successful event ever.
Well, thank you. That'd be a win. That'd be really nice. I'd like to have 300 more thousand. And the wind's nice.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I've always got your back, and I wish you the best here, bud.
From
Thank you. I wish we could talk more. I wish we could do this every week. Well, I'm surrounded by anglers now. Paul and Insis came in, Mark Rose. Everybody came in last minute. Jacob Wheeler. Yeah. Like Ramson get busy here. See, these guys fish till the last minute. See, it's right now is the time you have to be off.
All right, and right now it's talking where you are. It's, 8:30?
8:30.
Yeah.
But it's been
dark. Aaron, we're going to let you go because I know you got to get your boat on the water and get things squared away and everything else like that. When does the tournament actually start?
Jacob. What's that?
When does the tournament start?
It starts, okay, we have tomorrow, and then we have an off day, so it'll be Tuesday, right? I hope I'm right.
And Tuesday. If you win, is there any chance we can get you to pick up the phone when we call so we can wish you congratulations?
Yeah, you can call me anytime. Call me anytime. I'm good with that. This is like the busiest days right now. Practice days are busy. I mean, I have to try to get early tomorrow. I'm not going to get back to the hotel until probably 9:30. So it's a busy, you know, you have to get up early, 4:45. Oh, I'm getting bit. Oh, man, they're bad. You guys, be lucky you're in California. That's all you got to say. They're terrible.
Oh, Aaron, do you have enough time just to tell us the sponsors that help get you to where you are right now?
Yeah, I got my, I wish I could swim more, but Rialis has been a great sponsor. I'm actually going to Japan. They bring me to Japan about every year. So definitely an awesome sponsor to have. And, of course, Mercury. I love my new Mercury. And I've got Minn Kota and Humminbird. I'm still with Rebel One since I was, 15? And obviously, Gamagatsu. I've been with Gamagatsu a long time. We got some new hooks, too, you guys. Again, I know you guys talk about them a lot on your show, but we have some new stuff coming out real soon. And I don't want to forget, but I have quite a few of them. ZPI stuff, ZPI, the customized reels. There's many more. I could go on and on. I think so.
Well, you happen to mention Realis. You know, Realis has that tailspin that's really popular. They've got the spy bait, and those are those maybe some types of baits you might be depending on if you
phenomenal.
Have to keep it quiet.
What's that? The spy bait?
Or yeah, or the tailspin.
I wish I could use it. The tailspin's good too. I just haven't been in a place to throw it really. The tailspin might come into play. I actually pulled it out today. I have a new tailspin. It's pretty cool, but I'm not sure it's going to be quite right for it. But okay. I don't want to forget Enigma either because I'll get in trouble, but Enigma's been really good. Got lots of different rods now. I know I'm forgetting a bunch. Sunline, yeah.
Right. Well, Aaron, let's let you get off the water because I know you got a lot to do preparing, and heck, you probably haven't eaten in who knows what. I can't tell you how much
he eats peanut butter. He eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's what he takes to his boat forever.
I gave up on bread. It's too. It just doesn't do well with me, so I do everything but bread. But I still do smoothies every day. I do fruit. On the water, I do a lot of fruit. I eat real healthy, and I still run. I still run about 20 miles a week. So I just jumped over a 4-foot fence. That wasn't hard. I had to go get my truck. So I'm still doing good. I still feel like a 20-year-old.
Attaboy, Aaron.
I still got things too.
Hey, you know, Aaron, what a great birthday present. It's going to be if you can win this thing.
Yeah, I forgot. My birthday's going to be during the tournament. Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome.
Isn't that be great?
Well, go get him, buddy. That's what all I got to say.
Now I can talk all you want. So I got in my truck, and I got my earbuds in. So now I go hands-free. I can do whatever without holding the phone to my ear.
Right.
Now I can talk longer if you want.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I want to talk with you. When you win this thing, and even if you don't win this thing, let's make an appointment to talk with you afterwards to find out how you did, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you about some of the new things that have come up at ICAST, and we want to talk about the new hooks and some of the new products. So why don't we let you go, and we'll take a rain check and talk to you again.
New drop shot hook in the works right now. Oh, man.
I've already used them. They're great. They help me win.
They're not out yet.
Yeah. So
well,
you have another hook coming up besides that finesse
that
drop shot
I fish
that's
Gamagatsu too, and I asked them to give me a few.
They don't have them yet. What are you talking about?
Oh, the newest ones I haven't fished.
Oh, no,
but your other stuff
that,
I have.
Yeah, we're doing some other stuff. We're doing some really cool stuff. We're doing We got like three, four, or five more hooks coming out. We have quite a few hooks they're working on right now.
Well, then I'll have to talk to the boys, and we'll go win, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, I agree.
All right, Aaron, we're
going to
let you go. Much luck from all of us here at Rod and Reel Radio and all of Southern California, and what a great way to celebrate your birthday than with a win like this. It's going to be great.
That would be awesome. I thought about that when I found out it was on my birthday. I haven't thought about it since. That would be really cool.
All right.
I'm all in, buddy. Go get them.
Yeah, go get them.
Right,
thanks a lot
boys.
For being with us. And watch out. You're another year older jumping over those 4-foot fences. Yeah. You know, when you get like Stan and I, you got to crawl under them. Wendy, she's still limber enough that she can still go over.
You have to keep running. You have to keep running.
Don't worry, I run.
All right. Hey, Aaron, we're going to let you go. Thanks a lot for being with us, sir.
All right, guys. I want to say hi to everybody in California. I miss you guys.
Well, we miss you too, Aaron. And we look forward to seeing you out here real soon.
Go get them, buddy.
Yeah. I'll be at the open.
You and Tony
won't. I'll be in Cabo.
Well, maybe we'll see you at the Open then. Hope you get a chance to see. Hey, nothing like the Red Crest and the Open. $100,000 first prize in the Open.
It's going to be more than that, the option, if you get the option money.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hey, we got to get going, Aaron. So thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Aaron Martin, pre-fishing for the Red Crest Series. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, we got a special guest coming on up. Doug Roderick from Sierra Drifters is going to be with us. So stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more about fishing the Eastern Sierras after we get back.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262, or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners. Be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio show live, along with show archives, without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words CODE GROUP in the App Store on your smartphone.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it, so I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. And before we get to our next guest, Wendy, I've got to thank you and the people at Iserline for keeping us supplied with the finest line in the industry. People just keep on demanding Iserline, whether it's leaders, top shots, or full fill-ups. And it is amazing the people that come in now and want Iserline. I mean, we're doing thousands of yards of line a week, and a lot of it's Iserline. Thanks a lot for a great supply of line.
Oh, and thank you for placing an order. I saw it in the warehouse on Friday, the other day when I was at the warehouse. I saw it shipping out.
I've got to place another one over here coming at the beginning of the week. But, hey, let's get on to our next guest. Stan, would you please introduce our audience to the next guest?
I would love to do that. Well, a lot of the people know Sierra Drifters and the Sierras up fishing Crowley Lake and drifting the Owens and a lot of different pieces of the puzzle for catching fish and having fun. But the guy that's taken over because Tom Lowe has sold that and gone to Oregon. But the lead dog now is a gentleman by the name of Doug Rodericks, and he's been a part of Sierra Drifters for years and years and years and doing a fine job taking both beginners and experts out and showing them how to have the most fun that you can have on Crowley Lake. And Doug Rodericks, thanks for being a part of Rod and Reel Radio, and welcome.
Hey, thanks, Dan. It's good to be back on here. And just a note on Iserline, I use it myself and have caught some of my biggest tuna on it.
There you go.
That's why you got your biggest tuna, because you were using Iserline. Tell us a little bit about the guide service and the places you can go, because, you know, we just heard from Bridgeport, and they say, hey, we've got guys coming up from Crowley to come fish up here. So tell us about the breadth of your service.
Yeah, so we basically run our service all the way from Bishop up to Bridgeport and fish all the waters. The main waters we fish, starting from the bottom down there, are the Middle Owens River, you know, formerly called the Lower Owens River, you know, the Wild Trout section, Pleasant Valley Reservoir, and we come up towards Crowley Lake, you know, and we have the Upper Owens and Hot Creek in the Long Valley area there. And then we head up towards Bridgeport, and we have Bridgeport Reservoir and the East Walker River as well. And we also do trips on the San Joaquin River. We're one of the few guide services that is actually under permit by the Inyo National Forest Service and allowed to guide on Hot Creek and the San Joaquin, and also have June Lake and Silver Lake and Grant Lake in the June Lake Loop.
That's
right.
You got quite an opportunity if you want to go learn how to fly fish. These guys are the guys you want to go with. I can't tell you how many of my friends, and I've just referenced people that want to go up and they think, well, I don't know how to fly fish. This is the most fun way to learn, and you'll catch, especially at Crowley, you know, you can catch little fish in a lot of different places. Crowley, you start with the fish that you would be big anywhere else. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you guys do up there, Doug?
Yeah, to start off, there's I've noticed over the years of doing this for quite some time now that there's an intimidation factor when it comes to fly fishing, and especially going from guys that have been spin fishing all their lives. A lot of guys think it's going to be something that's very difficult to transition to, and that's not the case, especially with our, you know, team of professionals. They're very, very good instructors. You know, they've been doing it for years. They work very well with families and kids and beginners. And, you know, a lot of times we have very young kids this time of year in the summer out on Crowley, and, you know, kids as young as 7, 8 years old, they're doing their own casting, they're hooking their own fish. And a lot of times the results are, you know, trophy trout of 20 inches and up. But our programs are very simplified. You know, we make everything very easy. We provide all the gear for you guys and everything you need. You know, the only thing you need to provide is your fishing license, and we've got everything else covered for you. And all our guides will instruct you the whole way through the trip. We spend the first 15 to 20 minutes of the trip with basic instruction, getting you guys dialed in, and becomes a really easy way to learn how to fly fish. So it isn't that as difficult as, you know, you may think.
Yeah, actually, it's a really fun way to fish, and if you've never tried it before, I sent people up that, you know, like you're saying, oh, they're real intimidated by it. You don't. It's an easy way to fish. They walk you through what to do, and when you get your first fish on, I've never seen anybody that didn't smile. day long, you can catch a lot of fish. If the fish are going, you can go through a lot, and it's a really fun new experience. For not only you, but your family will love this.
Sure. And fly fishing, what's so good about it is, you know, if you're sticking to one discipline in fishing, like trolling or casting lures or bait fishing, you can catch a lot of fish that way. But keeping on the fish throughout the day, you have to start making some changes to do that. And with fly fishing, you're imitating the natural food source of the trout. So you can stay on the fish all day with flies, and you just need to find the depth that they're feeding at, how their feeding behavior is changing throughout the day, and that's what a lot of times makes it a lot more efficient way to fish, and usually yields better results as far as staying on them all day, too.
You know, and right now is a prime time because the bigger fish start coming into play now September through November or till the 1st of November when the season closes, but the fishing can be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. And Crowley, you know, is known for, you know, the late summer months here. A lot of the big fish will come into the channels because the water is so warm. And so, the Freestone creeks that bring in the snowmelt bring in the perfect temperature for the trout to feed. And with the plethora of food that we have in Crowley, that allows the fish to, you know, come into really shallow water and feed on them, you know, through the rest of the season. We have the Sacramento perch that have spawned, and their fry are all over the lake, so it's a huge protein source for the fish on Crowley. A lot of times that lake and Bridgeport Reservoir, they produce some of the biggest fish because the growth rate, you know, here on Crowley can be 6 to 8 inches a year, you know, during optimum conditions.
You know, and you even offer, when the season's over, you've got trips that guys can take to go catch snowbows, I think you called them.
Yeah, we're a year-round fishery, so we do fish 365 days a year. And we do, you know, there are some new regulation changes in the works with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to open all waters in California to year-round fishing, and that's kind of been the talk lately. And there's been a lot of debate about it, but, you know, everything will get worked out here in the next year or so. But right now our snowmobile trips are very popular. Right in the middle of winter, January through March, a lot of the big fish from Crowley, the rainbows, head up into the upper Owens to spawn, and it usually starts around mid-December and goes all the way through the end of March. And the best years are when we do have snowfall, like this last season, where we can run the snowmobiles in. It limits the amount of angling traffic in there. It gives us a lot more access to the river, we have, you know, a lot more area to cover without having to deal with, you know, all the people driving in. So we get to a lot of the spots that don't get fished and hold a lot of, you know, the majority of the fish on the river during that time.
So, Doug, you know, this year-round fishery, and it's something that a lot of people never get a chance to experience, but you really offer for the family or just the couple or just the guy that just wants to go up and play and do something new. And even I know a ton of the guys that just, they're excellent fishermen. They just want to go because you'll take them where they can catch fish. And that's really the key.
Yeah. You know, and that's the whole, you know, the whole thing with hiring a guide. You're not wasting time guessing where the fish are. You know, since we're out here every day, we know exactly where they are, you know, where their typical areas are going to be for them to hold in throughout the year, and you know, we can go right to the fish, you know, get on the fish right away, get all the instruction in there, and, you know, take the most advanced angler out there and really challenge them, or take the complete novice and get them started, and, you know, they'll have a great time out there.
And everybody that I know that's been with you has always come back for more because they've had a great time, which is, that's the key to the whole thing, is it was fun and successful, too. But so if somebody wants to get in touch with you and they want to learn more about this or they want to book a trip with you, how do they find you?
So they can go to our website. That's the best source of information at www.sierradrifters.com. We have trip request forms that they can actually fill out online there and just email it to us. We get the information. We'll either contact them by email, text, or phone, whatever their choice is, and go ahead and get them set up for a trip that way. They can also check us out on Facebook. We have a Sierra Drifters page and on Instagram, and or they can give us a call at our business line or text at 760-935-4250.
Well, Doug, right. Thank you for being a part here, buddy. You run an absolutely great program for the guys that want to play up there, and for all you that are listening, if you want to have a really great time and try something new, get a hold of Doug Rodericks or the guys from Sierra Drifters. You'll have a great time. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me again.
All right, thank you for being with us, and that's it for the show tonight, everyone. Thanks for listening. Stan, thanks a lot for your contribution. hey, the fishing's great out there. Go out and get them, whether it's freshwater fishing the Sierras or off our local San Diego coastline. So on behalf of Otto and the AM 540 studios, Ben here in San Diego, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, and our good friend Paul Leader, good night, everyone. Go out and get them. Someone's getting your fish, and they're getting away.